Joe Rogan's not a journalist. He's never claimed to be, nor has he ever tried to be. He seems to just be a man who likes talking to people and hearing their thoughts and topics that he doesn't know too much about. He's curious, often skeptical, and values truth, which is why he doesn't really take too kindly when people, especially news networks and journalists, start spreading lies. It's something CNN has been doing to him over the last few years, and nothing's more satisfying than watching Joe Rogan expose these people for what they truly are. Like with Joe's feud with the quote-unquote most trusted name in news, Don Lemon. It all began during the pandemic, when Rogan revealed that he didn't see the point of getting a vaccine if you were young or healthy.
You're like 21 years old, and you say to me, should I get vaccinated? I go, no.
Yeah.
Are you healthy? If you're a healthy person and you're exercising all the time and you're young and you're eating well, and like, I don't think you need to worry about this.
When he contracted the virus himself, he took to social media to let his followers know how he was treating it with a cocktail of different medications. So CNN saw an opportunity to stir trouble. In the report following Rogan's announcement, the network claimed that the drug he was using was meant for livestock before showing Rogan's initial video. Interestingly, the expert they brought in to discuss the drug doesn't once mention its use in livestock and only comments that it wasn't meant to treat viral infections, only parasites. But CNN didn't seem to care about this and went ahead with their claim that Rogan was taking a horse dewormer.
His statement on social media, Rogan said he has taken several therapeutics to recover.
Turns out I got COVID. So we immediately threw the kitchen sink at it. All kinds of meds, monoclonal antibodies, ivermectin, Z-Pak, prednisone, everything.
One of those drugs he mentioned, ivermectin, is something more often used to deworm horses. CDC says there's no evidence it works on COVID. Its increased usage has only led to a substantial increase in overdoses after a push by some on the far right, seeding vaccine misinformation.
I can afford people medicine, mother...
Understandably, Joe Rogan was baffled by CNN's attempts to make him seem like a nutcase, and in the podcast episode that followed, questioned whether he should be suing the network.
Well, well, well.
If it isn't
old horseworm Rogan.
Bro, do I have to sue CNN?
I don't know, do you?
They're making shit up. They keep saying I'm taking horse dewormer. I literally got it from a doctor.
But he seems to be a rational man and decided that rather than start a battle with his news network, he would instead invite his chief medical officer, Dr. Sanjay Gupta, to the Joe Rogan Experience. Dr. Gupta admitted that his colleagues had lied and claimed that he didn't know why they had done it.
Does it bother you that the news network you work for out and out lied?
Well,
just outright lied about me taking horse dewormer.
They shouldn't have said that.
Why did they do that?
I don't know.
You didn't ask? You didn't think that was yours? You're the medical guy over there.
I didn't ask. I should have asked before coming on
your podcast.
But they
did it with such glee.
And the issue seemed to be resolved. And it was dawning that CNN was losing the battle against Joe Rogan, making enemies with one of the most influential men online. And so they weren't going to back down this easily. So when Dr. Gupta appeared on Don Lemon's show shortly after Rogan's episode dropped, it was abundantly clear that the reporter really wasn't interested in anything that had really been said throughout the exchange between him and Rogan, and only wanted to ensure that Gupta renounced the idea that CNN had lied.
But... He did say something about ivermectin that I think wasn't actually correct, about CNN and lying, okay? Ivermectin is a drug that is commonly used as a horse dewormer. So it is not a lie to say that the drug is used as a horse dewormer.
Rather than discuss the points that Joe Rogan had brought up, Lemon defended the network by doubling down on the fact that because ivermectin was used as a horse dewormer, no one had technically lied. Therefore, no one could be proven wrong. Gupta confirmed Lemon's point, but when he tried to bring up the fact that Rogan was addressing claims that CNN had made about him specifically, you know, the crux of the issue and the primary reason he had been invited to talk on the podcast, Lemon started talking over him.
I think that's important, and it is not approved for COVID, correct?
That's right. Now, I think what Joe's point
that
is...
That it's been approved for humans, but not necessarily for COVID, right? Yeah.
It's almost comical watching the network try to assert that they're a highly credible source of information with years of articles to prove it, all while refusing to even acknowledge that they'd made a mistake, much less tell a very blatant lie. And Rogan was having none of it. During his next episode, he hammered CNN and dismissed their every attempt at maintaining credibility. He started by pointing out the idiocy and demonizing him, and the medications that he was taking. Rogan went on to poke holes in Lemon's logic.
They're making shit up. They keep saying I'm taking horse dewormer. I literally got it from a doctor. It's an American company.
Mm-hmm.
They won the Nobel Prize in 2015 for use in human beings.
Showing that the issue wasn't that they lied about the medication, but in the way they showed him trying to take this medication.
They try to make it seem as if, like, I'm doing some wacky shit that's completely ineffective. And
right.
CNN was saying that I'm a distributor of misinformation.
First of all, it's like you called your dealer. You had it prescribed, right?
Yeah.
So when they say it's not approved, it's not like you are using your own judgment. You're using the judgment of a medical professional, which is what they've been yelling for a year and a half. Listen to the experts.
Rogan was showing that they weren't making these claims to protect vulnerable viewers, but there was something more at play.
It's about obedience, because they're the ones who are promulgating how everyone has to act. And then you have this guy from Austin over here, this comedian, telling people there was another way and the science isn't as settled. And all of a sudden, their sense of authority is diminished, because when you have choices, that means that person who wants to be the one to go to no longer is the one who has all the answers.
When they say things that are absolutely untrue, it diminishes their authority.
Don Lemon didn't seem to realize that he was taking on someone with 10 times the influence CNN thought it had. And CNN's fixations with Rogan and their insistence on making him the bad guy is almost more reflective of the network's ideals than anything else. It felt like a desperate attempt to draw the audience's attention away from the numerous scandals they were dealing with at the time. CNN had drawn the lines in the sand, and Rogan was happy to meet that challenge.
They're lying at your network about people taking human drugs versus drugs from veterinary...
Calling it a horse dewormer is not a flattering thing, I get
It's a lie. It's a lie on a news network, it's a lie that's a willing... That's a lie that they're conscious of. This is not a mistake.
He frequently called out the network's lies, but the main issue is with a few select reporters, one of which being Brian Stelter. Now that CNN had apparently declared an all-out war against Rogan and his ideals, Brian Stelter decided it was his turn to take a shot at the comic.
So we just talked about CNN's ratings, under 450,000 viewers, and then the average Joe Rogan episode gets 11 million downloads, at least according to the latest.
Oh, come on. We can't do apples and bananas like that. And with CNN getting tens of millions of viewers a month, I think that's a healthy place to be. And that's, I think, a fairer comp to Joe Rogan, where, you know, Rogan obviously has a big fan base. But if you were to look at his, how many people are listening to him this hour, it wouldn't be nearly as big. And so that would be, you know.
And in turn, earned himself a bit of a reputation as a complainer. He covered a clip from Rogan's podcast in which the host is discussing how dangerous quote-unquote woke culture and cancel culture can be. He was concerned with people being silenced. So Brian Stelter took to TV, spending his whole report essentially whining about Americans trusting the Joe Rogan Experience more than his network and mocking his stances.
The hugely popular podcast host causing days of chatter by saying that straight white men are the targets of woke culture.
It will eventually get to straight white men are not allowed to talk.
He also called Rogan's ideas on counterculture pervasive.
The fear about woke culture, about an overreaction, is pervasive, especially in right-wing media.
Brian Stelter seemed to be incredibly condescending, trying to play himself off as the superior person by bringing up issues he deems more important. It's his tone of voice and the way he talks about Joe Rogan that really makes it unbearable to watch.
Now, as for Rogan's recent comments, on one level, it's just comical. Hearing this rich and famous guy express worries that even though he's paid to talk for a living, he's going to be silenced in the future.
And whilst Brian Stelter no doubt saw this as a giant smackdown of Joe Rogan, others saw the hit piece as just jealousy. While Stelter is a relatively successful journalist, he's not nearly as well known as Rogan, so when he tried to claim that Rogan's comments were a ploy to grow his own audience, no one could take him that seriously. Of course, Joe Rogan wasn't too pleased about Brian Stelter's summation of his character, and immediately started firing back. He began by highlighting the fact that Brian Stelter was a terrible journalist with an even worse show, specifically referencing his interview with the White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki, during which he basically asked her what journalists were doing wrong.
For other PR professionals who watch what you do, for journalists who watch what you do, what's your advice for them about trying to stay close to the truth in this world of lies?
It seemed just so uninteresting in networking, more than any real journalism. But Brian Stelter didn't seem to recognize this. He even seemed shocked when CNN cancelled his show Reliable Sources. Rogan had pointed out that he couldn't be mad that the market had reflected truths he didn't want to listen to. As the two men continued to butt heads, or in reality Brian Stelter continuing to try and look down his nose at Rogan, his exposés never seemed to work, and instead Brian Stelter was really just exposed by Joe Rogan himself. But Brian wasn't the only one. After this back and forth between CNN and Rogan, more journalists would join the bandwagon. As most often happens when people are pushing for the cancellation of a specific celebrity, someone went for Rogan's past and started circulating a compilation of him using the N-word over 20 times. CNN now had the perfect ammunition it was looking for. During their next few reports, Stelter and Acosta spent most of their time telling Spotify that it had to drop Joe Rogan if it wanted to avoid cancellation or completely failing, talking as if they knew Joe Rogan would lose his multi-million dollar contract.
He is now apologizing, and we're going to find out if that's enough for Spotify, the company that has an exclusive distribution deal with him. Jim, this is all coming to light because of the recent controversy about anti-vaccine rhetoric on Rogan's podcast.
Influencers and celebrities have all lost their positions for far less, and the two men seem very sure that the same thing would finally happen to Rogan. Specifically Brian Stelter, who sounded particularly smug about the whole situation, gleefully waiting for his downfall.
And there are many examples, including in Hollywood and entertainment, where people have lost their roles for less than this, and that may be why Spotify is being so quiet.
And they seem to be fully aware of how damaging cancel culture can be, and even tried to inspire their audience to rally against Spotify and Rogan by asking anyone with minor influence about the situation. The only problem was they'd severely overestimated their power.
These videos have surfaced of him using the N-word multiple times on his podcast.
The reporters were so desperate to try and turn the world against Rogan that they were creating a cartoonish character of Joe that just didn't exist. As people had spent thousands of hours listening to his podcast, they could pretty easily see Joe Rogan's character from the screen. It was very clear to almost everyone that they were blatantly twisting the narrative of the situation to make it seem like Rogan was in a worse position than was true. According to CNN, Spotify had deleted several past episodes of the Joe Rogan Experience and was debating whether or not to let him go.
Now, listeners have noticed that several dozen episodes have been taken down. Apparently, those are the episodes that we've heard clips from today. So Spotify might be on a cleanup mission trying to erase some of Rogan's past, but will the company continue to stand by him? That's an open question. We have not heard back.
But in reality, it seemed like Joe was the one who had deleted the videos and had the full support of Spotify's CEO throughout the entire ordeal. He was actually relieved that the video popped up because it allowed him to address a few things about his past that he wasn't so proud of and apologize for his previous mistakes.
Now, I know that to most people, there's no context where a white person is ever allowed to say that word, never mind publicly on a podcast. And I agree with that now. I haven't said it in years, but for a long time, when I would bring that word up, like if it would come up in conversation, instead of saying the N-word, I would just say the word. I thought as long as it was in context, people would understand what I was doing.
Much to CNN's surprise, Spotify kept Rogan on his platform, and it seems like Joe and Spotify's partnership has been going great. CNN couldn't believe this and refused to accept his apology, continuing to try and frame him as a racist, as the journalists at CNN couldn't seem to wrap their heads around how Rogan had managed to survive a cancellation attempt, or why people would prefer to watch him than their professional journalism. Tim Acosta was particularly adamant about CNN's charge against Rogan, and almost became the figurehead for the attack.
And you and I both know that compilation right there, which he has admitted to, is authentic. That would be enough to put anybody out of a job. I mean, to me, it seems untenable to have that kind of video surface, that kind of compilation surface, and keep one's job.
When Spotify failed to drop Rogan as a partner, Acosta decided to try and guilt people into not listening to his podcast, saying it was just filled with quote-unquote locker room talk. Rogan didn't even have to respond to these claims for people to see that the source of Acosta's attacks was just a thinly veiled contempt for the podcaster's success, as his podcast is everything the network wishes it could be. It was this kind of rigidity and abject hate that eventually cost both Acosta's and Stelter's jobs at CNN, when the company tried to rebrand itself as a quote-unquote objective network. However, eventually after a couple of years, Stelter would get his job back. But just because these journalists got kicked out of CNN didn't mean they would stop hating on Rogan. They continued talking his podcast down, and even claimed the network is comparable to the Joe Rogan Experience in terms of views. Joe Rogan no longer held any respect for either of these journalists, and just mocked them whenever their names popped up, going so far as to question their integrity after Stelter hosted a disinformation panel at the World Economic Forum in Davos in 2023, with Joe just calling him basically a prostitute and remarking that he was probably very excited just to be working again in any way, shape, or form.
Brian Stelter is now at the World Economic Forum. What can we do about these problems?
He looked very comfortable there, didn't he?
Of course he does. He's with evil lizard people that are trying to control the world. That's his bosses. He knows how to handle that kind of situation. I've been around evil lizard people.
Well, he's probably very excited just to be working again in any way, shape, or form.
That's true.
You know, I mean, he's not a guy that really is supposed to be in front of a camera, right? He's supposed to be a journalist, but he's not even good at that. So what he's doing now is holding water for the evil leaders of the world who want to institute hate speech policies nationwide and, you know, centralized digital currency, and they want everybody to eat bugs. And because he's basically a prostitute.
These journalists only strengthened Rogan's summation of them. And while CNN's feud with Rogan was really entertaining, people just didn't seem to understand why they had so much hate for him. If they're covering the news, why were they so focused on this and not more important matters? And what's hilarious about all of this is that CNN changing its tune would, undeniably, actually save the network. America's in need of a real truthful news organization, but unfortunately they completely screwed this up. People value objective perspectives on big issues that allow the public to form their own opinions, and they're just not getting that from CNN, no matter how much the network tries to claim otherwise. Not even their own audience can take their claims seriously anymore, as was proved when Stephen Colbert's audience laughed when he called the network objective.
No, you guys are objective over there, that you just report the news as it is.
Oh, I know, CNN makes a... I know.
Was that supposed to be a laugh line?
It wasn't supposed to be, but... I guess it is.
They've made a massive joke out of themselves through clear biases and various scandals. But still, rather than take accountability, they try to turn the attention to someone else. But unfortunately, they pick Rogan. And Joe Rogan doesn't pull any punches. And remarkably, CNN's not the only news network that decided to pick a losing battle. As I mentioned earlier, MSNBC tried to start their own war with Rogan, and soon discovered that they bit off a bit more than they could chew. In August, a TikTok from MSNBC began circulating the internet. The video was captioned, "Joe Rogan predicts Harris will win the presidency," and featured Rogan seemingly endorsing the vice president, praising her as a strong woman and deeming her everything a person could want for a president.
She's gonna win.
No, she's not.
She can win. I feel like we are in this very bizarre time where people are giving in to the bullshit in a way that I never suspected people would before. And we this is this one, they just want no Trump, no matter what, and they're willing to gaslight themselves. And by the way, I think Hillary could win. If Hillary jumped back in...
I've been saying that for months.
If Hillary jumped back in... I feel like Hillary could win.
People were confused, as not even a month before the TikTok was posted, Rogan had pointed out that the vice president was incredibly unpopular before she even started running for president.
I just can't imagine the United States wants President Kamala Harris. I don't think anybody wants that. Nobody wants that. I mean, maybe some people would prefer that over President Trump, but nobody wants that.
His sudden change didn't make any sense. And it turns out, MSNBC actually faked the video. Someone had taken clips from Rogan's interview with Michael Malice in July and edited it up so it seemed like he was actually endorsing Harris. It was pretty ironic, given that during the episode, the two men had discussed the fact that many news outlets were gaslighting their audiences by portraying the vice president as America's hero and making it near impossible to find any bad press about her, when just a few months prior, they'd actually called her the worst vice president in history.
Well, this is like... master gaslighting and propaganda is what it is. So everybody forever was like, Kamala Harris is the worst vice president. She's the least popular vice president of all time. And then in a moment in time, all of a sudden she's our solution. She's our hero. Everybody's with her. All these social media posts about her. Try Googling a negative story on her. You won't find one.
So,
ta-da! Okay,
the praise that Rogan was actually giving out was to former Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard. The UFC commentator had praised her as a strong woman of color with years of military service under her belt and used these points to highlight the fact that the Democrat Party had rejected her as a presidential candidate because she was unwilling to roll over and play the same game Harris had for so many years. Joe Rogan also noted that Tulsi is rarely mentioned in political discussions involving Harris and theorized that this was probably because anytime the two women got into a debate, Tulsi made the then senator look like a fool.
So in 2019, our pal Tulsi absolutely nuked her in that second debate. And right. If you looked at charts at the time, she's kind of, Officer Harris is like doing okay. First debate, she comes out, Joe Biden, you're a racist. The Democrats were looking for an alternative to Bernie Sanders that wasn't Biden. She starts going up in the polls, right? Second debate comes out, Tulsi, being a good Hawaiian, knows how to roast the pig, just completely slams her. Not only that, she has no counterpunch. She goes on Anderson Cooper and she's like, well, I'm a top tier candidate, so of course people are going to take shots at me. That's her answer. She immediately starts going down in the polls. It's that day. You can see it on the chart I have on my Twitter. All the articles at the time that did an autopsy on Kamala Harris's failed campaign didn't mention Tulsi once.
The former congresswoman would actually ask Harris a question or accuse her of something terrible, like keeping prisoners in jail longer than their sentence for free labor, and the vice president seemed incapable of giving a straight answer. Instead, she would bring up something irrelevant and try to move past the accusations without ever addressing them.
Now, Senator Harris says she's proud of her record
as a prosecutor and that she'll be a prosecutor president, but I'm deeply concerned about this record. She put over 1,500 people in jail for marijuana violations and then laughed about it when she was asked if she ever smoked marijuana. She kept people in prison beyond their sentences to use them as cheap labor for the state of California.
I did the work of significantly reforming the criminal justice system of a state of 40 million people, which became a national model for the work that needs to be done. And I am proud of that work. And I am proud of making a decision to not just give fancy speeches or be in a legislative body and give speeches on the floor, but actually doing the work of being in the position to use the power that I had to reform a system that is badly in need of reform.
Many of these accusations would have gotten anyone else cancelled, but Kamala Harris seems to have gotten a get-out-of-jail-free card. And then when Gabbard had heard what MSNBC had done, she ran to X to share her thoughts on the matter. She demanded that the outlet apologize for the post before accusing it of violating the laws of the Federal Elections Commission or to spread lies and failing to report the propaganda as a contribution to Harris's campaign.
Not sure if you guys caught this, but MSNBC was exposed today for yet another set of lies. They deceptively edited together this video of different Joe Rogan comments to make it appear that he was singing the praise of Kamala Harris. This is not reflective at all of the truth of what Joe Rogan said. And I think MSNBC has since taken this post down. But what's really serious here is that not only does Joe Rogan deserve an apology, there's actually something far bigger at stake here. This is yet another example of how MSNBC is working hand in glove with the Democrat elite and the Kamala Harris campaign to try to spread lies, simply things that are not true.
Many were sure that Rogan would sue the outlets over the misinformation and started reporting that he wanted $30 million from MSNBC in damages. But the podcast host later revealed in an episode with Andrew Huberman that he never actually had any plans of suing. He was really just worried about casual viewers who would see the blatantly twisted clip and assume that it was his genuine opinion on the matter.
This has gotten so popular that my stepdad contacted me to tell me he's happy that I'm suing MSNBC. I'm like, I'm not suing MSNBC. But this is what MSNBC did. They took a clip of me talking about Tulsi Gabbard and they edited it up and made it look like I was saying great things about Kamala Harris.
His whole incident further emphasized his opinion that media outlets only care about portraying news through a very specific narrative and not the truth. Like the recent Donald Trump assassination attempt, many news outlets that were biased made their feelings abundantly clear about the event. Rather than report the situation for what it was, many just claimed that loud popping noises had startled Trump off the stage, and CNN even claimed that the Secret Service had actually rushed him off because he fell. After facing backlash, these outlets were no longer able to deny the fact that Trump had been shot. They eventually had to change their initial articles, but it was a blatant denial of the truth. However, those in support of Kamala couldn't allow the attempted assassination to continue circling the news, so they would do everything they could to bury it. Rogan was struck by how quickly such a significant event was swept under the rug and forgotten about, remarking how the attempt wasn't even the first result to show up on Google if you searched Donald Trump's name shortly after the incident.
I would have thought that Trump getting shot would, like, that's it, election's over. But it's like, they memory hold that so quick.
You would have thought Trump getting shot would have had 8 years of corporate journalists talking about hate speech causing violence to be like, let's take a step back. And that went for what, a week?
They did take a step back for a little bit.
For a week.
And then they went right back at him.
You want to talk about this memory holding?
Yeah.
With the insanity of the who's that? That was Elon who put up, like, if you Google President Donald, it says President Donald Reagan.
No, I tried it.
What happened?
Maybe they fixed it. It said President Donald Trump.
Okay. Well, he had a screenshot, so I'm sure he didn't Photoshop that.
I mean, it's based on a lot of things, right? Like what people are searching for. I would imagine that the assassination attempt on Trump would be the first one that you would see.
Yeah.
Assassination attempt on president.
Right.
It would be Trump because that's the most recent.
Yes.
But it's not.
And most newsworthy.
It doesn't even matter who you support in the election, but any sort of interference like this could be a risk towards democracy. And Rogan seems to have never really cared about people having different opinions. In fact, he's made an entire career out of talking to anyone and everyone. So many people who don't share his own views. But what he does care about is whether these opinions are based on truth, as he's been burnt by misleading headlines before. So his main concern throughout this whole incident was for casual viewers who didn't know much about Rogan and his opinions past headlines. parents. He specifically brought up boomers who are set in their ways and often believe whatever's printed because they've grown up with the idea that the media never lies, and therefore haven't learned to differentiate between the truth and information that might have been manipulated, all to better suit the story of a journalist. Which is why Joe Rogan, like many of us, has very little respect for the media, who are more interested in earning clicks through misleading information than trying to figure out what's really right and wrong.
At what point do you think the general public will come to understand that this is the way that a lot of things that they see out there are constructed to some degree or another, and stop actually believing it?
It depends on who the public is. That this is the issue right now with boomers, right? Old liberals in particular, all they do is watch the news and read the newspaper, and whatever's printed, they believe. And it's very difficult to get them to consider, like, hey, maybe someone's lying. Maybe there's propaganda campaigns. Maybe there's, like, this widespread media narrative that they're pushing because corporations are behind it and advertising is behind it, and they're figuring out a way to manipulate the public opinion on things. It's very hard to get old boomers to believe that.
Right.
Because they're old, okay? So they're set in their ways. Their mind has formed around, you know, I am a liberal. I am a Democrat. I've been a Democrat my whole life. This is how I feel about these issues. This is my community. This is my tribe. These are my people. And the news says this, and I'm with them. And, oh, great, we're up in the polls now. And for them, it's like they're on a team. It might as well be the Dolphins versus the Raiders. It's the same kind of mentality in their head. And they don't want to be challenged. That little part of their brain that exists when you challenge yourself and do things you don't want to do, that just shriveled up to almost nothing.
While it's still unclear whether he's suing MSNBC or not, he had no issue telling the outlet they had said a gross lie.
And I think someone that's willing to do something like that, that's a real offense. It's a real offense. It's not a small thing. It's a real lie. And it's a lie that changes other people's opinion. You take what's perceived to be an influential person and you distort their views in either a way to shame them, make them look bad, or to promote someone else. Like, that's a real lie. That's a dangerous lie. It's a real offense. And I think that there's no laws against that right now. It's except libel law. I mean, you could take someone to court, I guess. But there's... it's a real bad thing. It's a real gross lie.
However, despite all the media coverage surrounding the incident and public criticism, MSNBC has yet to apologize for the TikTok clip. All they've done so far is change the video to better reflect what was actually said during the interview, and say only in the caption of the video, mind you, that they actually made a correction. At no point was there any acknowledgement of their blatant misrepresentation of Rogan's opinions. Unfortunately, other news outlets haven't learned from this incident, and are still going out of their way to make it look like Rogan is showering Kamala Harris with praise. Shortly after MSNBC's post and correction, the Daily Mail had decided it was their turn and posted a similar TikTok.
If you've got something to say, say it to my face.
Damn. That alone, yeah, can get you the president. This is, we're in Idiocracy. That alone, like, she, that is,
you get a couple banger sound bites, right?
You can't say that's not outstanding.
Totally.
She just crushed it.
Their video claimed that the podcast host was gushing about the vice president's speech in Atlanta and declaring that she'd crushed it. It's like people have completely forgotten the concept of sarcasm. Hilariously, in the clip used, Rogan even mentions Idiocracy, a movie we've spoken about before on the channel. All of this really isn't a great look for America.